Hello, you're stuck in Trout with Wolf Gorlick. A couple minute riff on IT and IT security. So today we're looking at a very simple yet incredibly clever way of doing phishing. You know, you go to a magic show, right? You go to a magic show with some friends, maybe it's a couple's night out, have some drinks, enjoy the trips. And on the drive back, right, you're all comparing notes. Like, did you see the thing where they poof in the hoop and the, I can't believe, I don't know how they did this. And of course, you start postulating. It went this way. Maybe it went that way. Whenever I've actually talked to a real magician, I'm like, I think you did. They're like, Wolf, buddy, just don't. You're way overthinking it. And so the tip to you is much the same way. The defense looks at some of these attacks the offense does, and we way overthink it, right? The hoop was not done with superpower maintenance. I'm sorry to say. Tip two is check out this incredibly clever, yet simple way the phishing attacks are done, that without knowing the background, you would way overthink it. And I've seen it way overthought in investigations. Here's the way it works. You get someone's credentials, right? So I'm going to make you the bad guy, or I want to be the bad guy. Maybe I want to make you the bad guy. All right, you're the bad guy. You're going to get my credentials. And I happen to be the CFO, and there's someone else who has the money, right? So you get my passwords. Maybe you sent a email that was phishing. Maybe I was, you know, caught up in the LinkedIn breach or something. But anyways, you get my password. And you use that password to log into my mailbox, right? My Outlook mailbox. Either through web access or by connecting an Outlook client to it. Now, here's where you might say, Wolf, there really should be location-based authentication in 2FA. And I'd say, yes, there should. But bear with me. Let's pretend there's not, because let's face it, almost no one does those controls right now. So anyways, you log into my mailbox as me. You have two goals at this point. You need persistence, right? So that I don't change my password to kick you out. You need stealth, so I don't detect what you're doing. So persistence and stealth. Here's how you accomplish persistence and stealth. You use Outlook rules, right? Not high-powered magnets. Forget the magnets. Outlook rules. And the rules look something like this. If you as an attacker send an email to me as the victim, my mailbox will forward it on to the guy with the money. If the guy with the money replies back to me as the compromised mailbox, my Outlook rule will forward that mail to you, the attacker. And there's additional Outlook rules that would clean up. So that's the persistence, right? You notice that persistence. There's additional Outlook rules for stealth that will delete that out of the inbox and delete that out of sent items and basically leave no trace. So now if you want to get the guy with the money to trust that Wolf's requesting a funds transfer, you can send an email to my mailbox. My mailbox will send it to him. He'll reply back. They'll send back to you. And you can do impersonation and social engineering through my mailbox. And this is the moment that, much like on Scream, with the blonde who's being terrorized on the phone, she's like, where are you? And she looks around. She goes, I'm in the house of me. The attacker's in the house, right? They're using a valid user and a valid mailbox. Even if I change my password, even if after the fact I put in two-factor authentication, all the spam filters in the world are not going to prevent that, because it's within the rules, and now there's persistence and stuff. Pretty sneaky. Something that if you see, pretty hard to diagnose. Check your rules. What do you guys think? Have you seen this in the wild? We've got a couple reported cases of it. How's a good way to prevent or detect? Hit me up in comments or on social media. Thanks. Cheers.